It's time for the March 15, 2024 edition of Weekly Signals Weekly Review, a personal recollection of the last 168 hours of history, broadcasting on the Ides of March from the University of California at Irvine on KUCI 88.9 FM. I'm Nathan Callahan.
And I'm Mike Kaspar.
And as always, the most unkindest cut of all, Mahler, the deep fake news dog. Today, we'll be talking about constitutional abortion, alien technology, German chocolate cake, Miami in Alaska, and so much more. But first, man, woman, female, male. The words woman and female, neither are really sexist. As far as their etymologies go, female is unrelated to male. And the fact that they overlap in spelling is due to ignorance about their etymology in the late 14th century. The word female originally comes from the Latin word femina, meaning she who suckles. The Latin word femina was adopted into Old French as femelle, and then adopted directly into Middle English with the same spelling, which is F-E-M-M-E-L-E. However, in the late 14th century, the spelling changed because people thought it was a variation on the word male, femelle, female. They were wrong.
They were.
It's not. The word male comes from the Latin word masculus, which is totally unrelated to the word femina. When masculus entered Old French, it became muscle.
Muscle,
M-A-S-L-E.
Okay.
And when Old French words carried over into modern French, they had the habit of dropping their S's and adding an accent. So muscle, which is M-A-S-L-E, became male, or mal, with a circumflex accent over the A. That's one of those upside-down V's.
Gotcha.
M-A circumflex L-E yielded the English spelling male, right?
Yeah.
So you got male.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, the Latin root femina is connected to words like fetus, font, felicity, affiliation, and fellatio. But the word female shares no root with the Latin words for man, masculum. By the way, the word for man in English was wir, and the word for woman was wif.
So kind of a, was that a derivative of wife?
Wir appears, wir appears in the word werewolf, meaning man-wolf, and wif is the source of the modern word wife.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
The word man, meanwhile, was more commonly used to mean humans. It had nothing to do with male.
So that is the origin of the mankind.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So when you hear the words woman and female,
sorry,
blame the 14th century. From Al Jazeera, France officially became the first country in the world to guarantee the right to abortion in its constitution. The constitutional amendment passed by the French Parliament was sealed with hot green wax in Paris. France Minister of Justice, Éric Dupond-Moretti, used a 19th-century Gutenberg hand-tightened printing press to impress the Great Seal of France in hot green wax on the law. In his speech, the president of the French Republic, Emmanuel Macron, praised the fact that France has become the only country in the world whose constitution explicitly protects the right to abortion, and added, "We will not rest until this promise is kept throughout the world."
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Great news. France into the 1960s was pretty bad on women seeking the full range of health care. And particularly bad for women, on women that were seeking an abortion.
Well, so they give them a half century.
Yeah, no, I mean it was. Yeah, they really, really turned it around. Yeah. Well, can I ask a quick question? So, is this the time to restart the constitutional amendment for women to be given equal rights?
The Equal Rights Amendment.
Yes, that's a long way of saying. I think this is the time. If I were in charge of the political arm of the women's rights movement, I would say this is the time.
You know, I think Mike Johnson ought to introduce.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
there you go. As the Republicans do, and both sides do this, but they'll put something on a state ballot that is intended to draw basically more voters out to the polls.
Yeah.
I think this would be a good time.
If you're a man or a woman or a friend beyond the binary, may I recommend a donation to KUCI, because so are we. Just go to KUCI.org. Your generous donation is how we stay on air. Commercial-free, free-form, free-speech radio, KUCI 88.9 FM. From the Washington Post, a lengthy Defense Department review of U.S. government activities related to unidentified anomalous phenomena, or as we like to call them, UFOs, has found no evidence that extraterrestrial intelligence has visited Earth, or that authorities have recovered crashed alien spacecraft and are hiding them from the public. The review covered all official U.S. investigatory efforts from 1945 to the present and examined classified and unclassified government archives, and it's likely to be scrutinized and rejected by independent investigators, former U.S. personnel, and conspiracy theorists who claim that the government is hiding evidence of alien life and that the government has constructed an elaborate set of classified programs devoted to reverse engineering UFO technology. I'm wondering what, like AI maybe? Or probing?
Yeah, I mean, propulsion. I think that would be the thing.
The propulsion?
If I were, propulsion would probably be the one thing that if there is alien technology out there, how did they get from wherever they were to here in such a hurry? I assume they came from long distances. So that would be the one thing. If you were looking for something to say, ah, they have found alien life forms with technology, it would be in propulsion.
So how come most people are still driving around in internal combustion engines?
Yeah, wouldn't there be some major military weaponry or some quantum leaps in the ability of human beings to kill each other? And I would think that that would be probably really high on the list of things that people wanted to find out how the aliens do those things.
They carry AR-15s with them.
Yeah, that's it. That was it.
Last summer, a former intelligence officer who had served on the Pentagon Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena Task Force told Congress that the government has a secret repository of downed alien spacecraft and corpses. In response, the new report called that allegation inaccurate. So I'm wondering, they don't have the corpses,
yes,
but they have the spacecraft.
Exactly. Inaccurate. That's a pretty wide word to use.
Raised my eyebrows when I saw that one. Meanwhile, from Futurism, Harvard professor and UFO hunter Avi Loeb claims he has new evidence that meteor fragments recovered from the ocean floor are alien technology. It raises the possibility that it may have been a Voyager-like meteor artificially made by another civilization, he said, referencing the Voyager probes sent out of the solar system by NASA back in the 1970s. So we sent out Voyager. He's supposing that this thing he found on the ocean floor was sent by aliens to check us out.
Yeah.
Though perhaps best known for his provocative theories on the cigar-shaped interstellar object Oumuamua that passed through our solar system back in 2017, Loeb's latest findings concern Interstellar Meteor 1. It's a catchy name.
Yeah.
I'm going to name my next dog. You hear that, Mahler? Interstellar Meteor 1, the meteor that plunged into the Pacific Ocean near Papua New Guinea nearly a decade ago, but was overlooked until Loeb spearheaded efforts that confirmed in 2022 that it was the first interstellar object known to fall to Earth.
Wow.
So good on him.
Yeah.
He's doing good work, even though he's, you know, taking his theories a little bit far out.
Yeah.
Well, good.
That Oumuamua, is that what you said?
Oumuamua?
Oumuamua. That was the one that raised some eyebrows because it was moving through our region of the universe in such a way that defied what we know about asteroids and such things.
Loeb then launched an expedition to comb the ocean floor for the object just last year and found its remnants, he claims, in the form of spherical metal fragments or spherules that he thinks may be some sort of alien technology. Some scientists rebutted this, saying that spherules were the result of fallout from human nuclear testing or even just coal ash. Loeb released new findings to silence the skeptics, concluding that some of the spherules' chemical composition differs from any known solar system material. But again, that's kind of not a great argument.
No.
it doesn't necessarily make them a form of alien technology just because they weren't from our solar system.
Right. When I was growing up, and this was from kind of a religious context, when I grew up in Catholic schools, they were always saying that God created humans and that's it. There's no other life anywhere else in the universe because God loves us here on Earth.
Who's this God you speak of?
Yes. And now we know from scanning the skies with James Webb and so many other ways, we're finding out that there's water, there's all the elements of life, and we will eventually find something that is resembling a monopod or bipod or whatever that's walking around, doing something, moving around, intelligent life outside of our universe. We will find it someday.
I think there were societies on our planet that believed that there was life elsewhere.
Yes, cultures that recognize that something may have visited their civilization in the past. Yeah, I think.
Back on Earth.
Yes.
From Wired. By this time of year, rain should be drenching the Amazon rainforest.
Oh, God.
Instead, a punishing drought has created dry conditions for fires that have engulfed hundreds of square miles of the rainforest that do not usually burn. Firefighters have struggled to contain enormous blazes that have sent choking smoke into the cities across South America, and they're not even in the dry season yet, which starts in June. Another year of devastating fires could be especially damaging in the Amazon, which stores vast quantities of carbon dioxide in its trees and soil. Though the Amazon covers only 4% of the Earth's surface, it contains a third of all known terrestrial plant, animal, and insect species. If deforestation, fire, and climate change continue to worsen, large stretches of the forest could transform into grasslands in the coming decades. That, scientists say, would trigger a collapse that could send up to 20 years' worth of global carbon emissions into the atmosphere, an enormous blow to the struggle to contain climate change. Once this tipping point is crossed, some climate scientists say it may be useless to try to do something. Little upbeat article there. The Amazon is burning. And from CBS News, two southeastern Colorado ranch owners were sentenced to pay $6.6 million to resolve federal charges that they damaged or altered rain gauges in an effort to get paid for worsening drought conditions. By preventing the rain gauges from accurately measuring precipitation, the men aimed to increase the amount of money they could receive from the federal government. Patrick Esch, 72, and Ed Dean Jagger, 62, received short prison sentences, Esch 2 months and Jagger 6. They also were ordered to pay a combined $3.1 million in restitution, the estimated amount of fraudulent funds they received from the Federal Crop Insurance Corporation. And they also agreed to pay a combined $3.5 million to settle the allegations. Hardworking farmers and ranchers depend on USDA crop insurance programs, and we will not allow these programs to be abused, U.S. Attorney for the District of Colorado Cole Finnegan stated in a press conference.
God.
You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM, Irvine, California. Visit us on the web at kuci.org, on Facebook at facebook.com/KUCI88.9, on our Tumblr blog at kuciradio.tumblr.com, and on Twitter and Instagram at KUCIFM.
Yeah.
That's right, Mahler.
That's right.
You saw him at Trader Joe's buying some 72% dark chocolate chips.
Yeah.
And the checker picks them up, looks over at the bagger and says, "These are gold." He says, "These are gold." And I say, "Only if they're dark chocolate." And he says, "Yeah, I was raised on Baker's chocolate."
Yeah.
He's telling me that.
Yeah.
"Me too," I said. "I used to eat an entire 4-ounce bar of Baker's chocolate. I just gouged them down, you know."
Now, describe the difference between what we know as traditional
chocolate.
Well,
I've always thought that Baker's chocolate was for bakers and baking.
Mm.
It wasn't a candy. It was pure. There wasn't a lot of sugar in it.
There you go. That's what
I
thought.
In other words, it was gold. But get this. It isn't about bakers or baking.
Mm.
It was owned by Walter Baker.
Oh.
The company was named Walter Baker & Company when Walter bought out chocolatier John Hannon in 1780. Production was limited to one kind of chocolate, Baker's chocolate, that coincidentally was used in baking.
Baking.
Then in 1852, an employee of Baker named Samuel German created German's Sweet Chocolate. German's Sweet Chocolate had a higher sugar content than Baker's Baking Chocolate.
Sounds about right.
A century later, in 1957, mm-hmm. a Dallas, Texas newspaper printed a cake recipe for German's chocolate cake. German's
so with
chocolate
polluted
cake.
With okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Based on German's Sweet Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
The article was then reprinted under the mistaken name of German chocolate cake,
gotcha.
Which is now the accepted name
for
that kind of cake.
Yeah.
So German chocolate cake had nothing to do with Germany. Go figure. And Baker's chocolate isn't specifically for bakers. Now I'm going crazy. Anyway, after all that talk about Baker's chocolate, I had a hankering for chocolate.
Yeah, I do right now. Yeah.
So I went into Smart and Final. Because I'm thinking, I can get something there.
Yeah. You know,
that's nearby.
Yeah.
Do you go in there?
No.
Never?
Smart and Final? I used to a long time. They were closer to where I lived.
It used to be like this almost restaurant supply place.
Yes.
When I first ran into them, which was on 19th Street near Placentia. Mm-hmm. I used to go in there and buy like a dozen salt and pepper shakers.
Yeah.
And I always thought their name meant that you were smart to go there. Their prices were good.
Yeah.
But their sales were final. Right? Smart and Final.
Yeah.
But no, Smart and Final started out in 1912 as the Santa Ana Grocery Company, mainly supplying feed and grain to local farmers. In 1914, Jim Smart and Hildane Final bought the company and changed the name to Smart and Final Wholesale Grocers.
Wow.
So there I am buying Baker's chocolate at Smart and Final. And my whole world has turned upside down.
It's upside down.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
From our good friend Michael Hiltzik at Los Angeles Times, there's no safe level for lead in drinking water, in case you're wondering. You want to chip off a little lead into your drinking water. Yeah. Don't do it. It's bad for you. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
More than a decade ago, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention ceased setting minimum acceptable standards for children's blood levels because scientific studies couldn't identify any concentration that didn't have deleterious effects on children's health.
There is no such thing.
The only proper approach, the CDC said, is prevention to ensure that no children in the U.S. face any exposure to lead. Lead exposure causes damage to the brain and kidneys and may interfere with the production of red blood cells that carry oxygen to all parts of the body. Removing all the sources of lead exposure is expensive, but over the long haul, a sound investment because it eliminates long-term effects that lead to massive health care costs, cognitive deficits, and higher crime rates.
You know, Nathan, it really explains why the popularity of the Republican Party is where it is. I think lead is the answer.
You think so?
Yeah.
You could be right. Industry has been opposing abatement programs for decades.
Yeah, there you go. You know, so we're on the right track.
Giving people money for their pain and suffering.
Yeah, for being exposed to lead, yes.
Yeah, in California, for instance, the three companies that produced and promoted lead paint for homes fought a 19-year legal battle to evade the costs of residential abatement. They finally reached a $305 million settlement with several counties and cities in 2019. That brings us to the latest initiative by the Republican Attorneys General of 15 states aimed at stifling a Biden administration lead abatement initiative led by, get this, Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach.
Oh, the guy, the election denier guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They are challenging a proposal by the Environmental Protection Agency to order the removal of some 9 billion lead water lines across the country.
Oh, my God.
They don't want that to happen. The rule conforms with the action plan Biden issued in 2021 aimed at replacing 100% of the lead water lines serving homes in the U.S.
Yeah.
This is a good thing.
Yes. Remember in Flint, one of the huge issues in Flint was the amount of lead in the water Flint, Michigan, when they were going through their water crisis because they had diverted their old supply to somewhere else, their old supply of water, to this new supply, which was laden with lead, and so were the pipes and so many other things.
Yeah, it's usually the pipes we're talking about here. Yeah. We're talking about replacing the water lines.
Yeah.
Of course, we remember Kobach the vice chairman of Trump's Election Integrity Commission. To find out if who and why the election was rigged when it wasn't. The commission was disbanded by the Trump administration on January 3rd, 2018, without issuing a report because they found nothing.
They found none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kobach then lost races for governor in 2018 and the U.S. Senate in 2020, but managed to win a race for attorney general in 2022.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be in Guantanamo by now.
From that perch. He has been pressing his new boss, exposing people in Kansas to lead in their drinking water. That seems to be what he's doing.
Yeah.
The Kobach pro-lead poisoning cabal encompasses the attorneys general of Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Louisiana, Iowa, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, and Wyoming.
Red states.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, red states.
The new Confederacy. Currently, the Biden administration program is underfunded, the lead removal program. Estimates of the cost of meeting the EPA's proposal run from about $45 billion to $60 billion.
Yeah. Well, good.
You know, when you consider what it's doing,
yes.
It's a good investment.
It's a great investment. Talking about health care, we're talking about intelligence, we're talking about a better society. $60 billion is nothing.
Biden's 2021 infrastructure bill allocated $15 billion for the purpose. He originally proposed $45 billion,
thanks to
which
Manchin,
would have helped
and,
out.
Thanks to Manchin and Sinema, we didn't get those things.
Yeah. But that was pared down by Manchin, Sinema, and specifically by Republicans.
Yes.
They were just swing votes from the Democrats.
Absolutely.
By Republicans, like Kobach, in congressional negotiations.
You know, this goes way back. I read an article in Nation magazine probably 20 years ago about lead and how lead came into society. And the way that it did was back in the 20s, as the automotive industry was gearing up, so was fossil fuel, oil and gas. And one of the things that they were looking for was something that they called additives, which we still have today, additives in gasoline that increase the mileage. They do a number of things. They're there for a reason. And lead was one of them. And there was another competing group of additives that were viable, feasible, would have worked. And the lead industry lobbied, and so did GM, lobbied the government to allow lead in our gasoline in the 1920s, 100 years ago. This article goes all the way through the history up to whenever the article came out about lead and its deleterious effect on all of us. And it is a remarkable document. If you can find it, it was at the Nation magazine. Wonderful article about lead.
The other additives that they were considering using were much safer, too.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah. Thank you.
Can you tell me why we're banning TikTok? That make any sense to you?
Well, I don't know yet. What I hear, and I think we've all heard some version of this, is that the owners of the company that owned TikTok is the Chinese government. It's a kind of a front group for the Chinese government, and that TikTok could be a vehicle of disinformation or already is a vehicle of disinformation. Other than that, I don't know how to feel about this right now. I'm really kind of on the fence about it.
Well, the U.S. House of Representatives voted to pass a bill that could lead to the nationwide ban against TikTok. The suggestions that TikTok is somehow bad for kids or represents a unique threat to users' privacy or presents a national security issue is almost a joke, as far as I can see.
Okay.
The worst serial violator of users' privacy is arguably Meta.
Yeah.
The company drew a record $5 billion fine from the Federal Trade Commission in 2019 when it was known as Facebook. Meanwhile, TikTok today is no different from other platforms, and it won't become different no matter who owns it. All the other social media platforms share the same business model, which is to deceive their users into thinking they're getting a valuable service for free, when in fact they're giving away information to advertisers and political manipulators.
Right.
From the New York Times, modern cars are internet-enabled, allowing access to services like navigation, roadside assistance, and car apps that locate cars or unlock them remotely. In recent years, automakers including GM, Honda, Kia, and Hyundai have started offering optional features in their connected car apps that rate people's driving. Some drivers may not realize that if they turn on these features, the car companies then give information about how they drive to data brokers, who in turn sell the information to insurance companies. The existence of these partnerships is nearly invisible to drivers, whose consent is obtained in fine print and murky privacy policies that few read. Yeah. Especially troubling is that some drivers with vehicles made by GM say they were tracked even when they did not turn on the feature, called OnStar Smart Driver, and that their insurance rates went up as a result. What to do? Well, California's privacy regulator is currently investigating automakers' data collection practices. And last month, Senator Edward Markey, a Democrat from Massachusetts, also urged the Federal Trade Commission to investigate. So we got to start there. Yeah. And just for what it's worth, both of these folks are Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like Republicans are very much into meddling in your private matters.
I think they are. Yes.
And Democrats will let you do things that...
Yeah, they're better.
Yeah, yeah. They're better. And yeah. And they look out for you, too, so that somebody doesn't grab your private information
right.
and turn your world into a
yeah.
public expose. From Los Angeles Times, yesterday, Waymo One began offering rides across 63 square miles from downtown Los Angeles to Santa Monica. Waymo, owned by Google's parent company Alphabet, has already been testing in Los Angeles area neighborhoods for over a year. Mm-hmm. It rolled out a months-long tour in October, but until now, the service has been limited to small corners of the city and those invited from a wait list. The fleet will be less than 50 cars in L.A. The move comes less than a month after the California Public Utilities Commission, which regulates the service, cleared the way for fared driverless vehicles in Los Angeles and cities across the Bay Area.
Are you going to ride in any of these vehicles?
Oh, no, I like driving my car. I don't know, yeah. You know, and I have one.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have one, then, yeah, I think they need to be tested more.
Yeah.
And it disturbs me that they pick one of the toughest cities to drive to test it in first, San Francisco. I understand the proximity to that kind of technology.
Yeah.
But still... Wouldn't it make sense to just pick a smaller city somewhere and ease into this?
Yeah.
Otherwise, what they're going to do is they're going to have a lot of protests.
Yeah.
There's going to be people stopping the cars.
Yeah.
There's going to be people burning the cars. There's going to be sex in the cars.
Yes. We're going to listen to the rolling brothels that they were.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Say I'm a evil gang member.
Yeah.
I could figure out something to do with the Waymo.
Steal the cameras off of the car or whatever. You could. Yeah. There's technology.
I mean, use it to go somewhere. How about putting a corpse in a car?
There you go.
It's a mistake.
Yeah.
I know they've done some testing, but it's pretty obvious. The cars just aren't up to doing what they're proposed to do on such a huge stage.
Yeah.
There's going to be some accidents. Pedestrians are going to be run over. That's already happened in San Francisco. It's going to happen here. And when that happens, we're going to have to go through all the crap, all the lawsuits.
Yes.
Just test this thing a little bit more outside of this environment. Don't be so greedy. Let's get it up to snuff so that it will fit in easily into our infrastructure here, not so that it becomes a threat.
Didn't they have the issue with the emergency lights, the ambulance lights, and the flashing lights?
They didn't recognize emergency vehicles.
Yeah, that was a problem.
They didn't recognize people turning left in front of them. They didn't recognize some pedestrians.
Yeah.
We're talking about the robocars. Good luck, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
From Undark, people don't like switching their clock between daylight savings time and standard time. You know that. We just did it.
Yeah.
And I was reading all sorts of people grumbling about it.
Harumph.
Harumph. Scientists generally advocate for permanent standard time because it better aligns people's schedules with the sun year-round. Mm. On the other hand, public opinion tends to favor permanent daylight savings time, and many politicians agree because there's more daylight, and who doesn't like daylight?
I like daylight.
In the political case, I don't think they're thinking this through.
Oh, I agree.
A bill to make that switch passed the U.S. Senate unanimously in 2022, but then stalled in the House. A new version was recently introduced. Now, Scientifically speaking, only one study has directly compared permanent daylight savings time to permanent standard. A 7-year study of students aged 10 to 24 living in northwestern Russia when the government mandated a switch to year-around daylight savings time in 2011 and then switched again to permanent standard time in 2014. The results associated year-round daylight savings time with a greater likelihood of feeling down in the winter, as well as sleeping later on weekends, a phenomenon known as social jet lag. So we're going to feel down in the winter anyway. Mm-hmm. There's less light in the winter. That's an important thing people, I think, don't factor into this equation. No matter what, there's less light out there. It's not like we get, you know, suddenly it gets depressing because we switched the clocks.
You said this was in Russia they did the study?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
But that's the only scientific study
we can
call
and if
on.
I know my geography at all, Russia tends to be in the northern part of the northern hemisphere. So I imagine that the winters are pretty dark.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. They didn't say exactly where this was
but
tested.
Generally speaking, that's kind of a...
But this social jet lag is a kind of chronic sleep deprivation because you have to get up for school or work before you would awaken naturally.
Yeah.
Social jet lag is associated with smoking and consuming higher amounts of alcohol and caffeine, as well as a range of ill health effects, including obesity, heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and depression. But all of these results have been challenged.
Mm.
You know, the results with social jet lag. Meanwhile, polls show that we generally dislike springing ahead and falling behind. We don't like the mechanics of it. We don't want to be bothered with screwing around with our clocks. According to a nationally represented survey of 1,500 U.S. adults, 2/3 of Americans want to eliminate the changing of clocks. I think that's all. If you just said you don't need to change your clock and the same thing happened...
I think this is one of those where it's a question that begs to be answered negatively. Like, I don't want to do it. You know, it's just an easy answer. In reality, switching to when we just went to savings time, it took me 2 days to be what I felt like fully ensconced in the new hours and times and all that, so...
It should be remembered that in an attempt to conserve energy, Congress established a trial period of year-round daylight savings time in late 1973. But public approval dropped as soon as Americans faced the reality of dark winter mornings. In other words, they liked the idea of it.
Yeah.
But when they had to experience it, they didn't like it.
Harumph.
They got social jet lag.
Yeah.
By October 1974, the country had reverted to 4 months of yearly standard time. They stuck that in there again. Yeah. Here's the deal. Daylight savings time doesn't buy you more daylight. That's not what it does. I think the whole name of it is ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
There's no savings of daylight. It's still going to go where it's going to go. The best we can do is adjust school start times and allow flexible work schedules so that people don't have to get up before sunrise. Or how about shorten the business day? My advice is, if you don't like to change your clocks, move to the equator. From Cosmos Magazine, a large group of fossilized dinosaur footprints, plants, tree stumps in Alaska's far northwest reveal a very different environment. 100 million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Dinosaur footprints. The finding confirmed that the temperature was much warmer in Alaska than it is today. And what's possibly more interesting is that it rained a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no snow, lots of rain. The samples we analyzed indicate it was roughly equivalent to modern-day Miami.
Wow.
Yeah, Alaska.
Wow.
In Miami. From The Guardian, some of the people who attended the near-record cold Kansas City Chiefs playoff game in January had to undergo amputations after suffering frostbite, a Missouri hospital said last week. Research Medical Center didn't provide exact numbers, but said more surgeries are expected over the next 2 to 4 weeks as injuries evolve.
Oh, my God.
The temperature at the game was minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit with a wind chill during gusts of minus 27 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. So much of what we watch is sports. So many things that we watch are outside. Uh-huh. Football, baseball, golf, whatever, tennis. As the climate changes... I don't know what we do as a society if we care about these sports in such a way that we can make changes to the where these sports activities are played.
Well, a couple of months ago, we read that story about golf and they're moving it indoors and going
right.
to have virtual holes.
That's right.
So you'll be driving the ball
into just some recognition
a make-believe course.
Okay.
And that, I think we can move it all indoors.
Yeah.
And it will suck.
Yes, it will.
And finally, from The Guardian, Tasmania's premier, Jeremy Rockliffe, vowed to build the world's largest chocolate fountain. The largest chocolate fountain in the world, if reelected.
You can subscribe to the Weekly Signals Weekly Review podcast at weeklysignals.com. Weeklysignals.com. Subscribe now.